If you turn, please, in God's Word to Isaiah 53 and the verse 5, I want to leave with you this morning as we come to the table. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want to speak to you this morning about the wounds and the bruises and the stripes on the human body of our dying Lord. You would know from this verse that the Lord Jesus Christ had many wounds and bruises and stripes. He was marked many, many times. He was pierced and cut and battered frequently. And the marks on his body must have been numerous. In fact, they must have been nearly innumerable. Hard to count them all. I'm sure if a professional surgeon had the body of Christ, he would find it almost impossible to count every wound, every bruise, every sore, innumerable wounds, like our sins, innumerable sins. Our iniquities are more than the hairs upon our head. Our transgressions are many, very many, too many. He was wounded for them all. He was bruised for them all. He received stripes for them all. The start of this prophecy of Isaiah, there is an interesting description of Israel. In chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord speaking to Israel, in the plural, ye, the people of God, the multitudes of Israel, but he compares them to a body, a human body. And in verse 5 he says, why would ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head, not just every head or the heads, but the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. One head, one heart. The sole of the foot, even unto the head. No soundness in it, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This is Israel that has gone astray from God. And God has chastised her, punished her, chastened her with rods and stripes and wounds, in order to get her to turn. But she won't turn. Despite all these wounds, the whole head, the sole of the foot, to the head, no soundness, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, covered with sores, covered with wounds, and still impenitent. And it was for those sins that Christ was wounded. Every wound and bruise that we deserve, he suffered on his body on the tree. This pictures Christ's body in a way, doesn't it? But he is not battered and bruised and wounded for his sins. He is not battered and bruised and wounded for his chastisement. It's for our chastisement that he is battered and wounded and bruised. It's for our salvation. He bears our sins. All the innumerable sins have these innumerable wounds for us. So he is bruised and wounded. Why, we cannot tell the number of them. There are 5 wounds that stand out. 5 bleeding wounds he bears. Even in glory they still remain. These 5 wounds. I speak of the wounds on his hands, his feet and his side. They can be reduced to three, of course. His feet, his hands, his side. We take them in that order. You remember how he showed them his hands and his feet after his resurrection. You remember he said to Thomas, "Thrust in thine hand and feel my side." He exposed his side, the wound there too. So those are the visible ones that he would want us to think about, that stand out. His feet, first of all. Now the feet, they are the things that touch the earth. They are the things that walk through the dust of the world. They are the things that propel him on his journey to all the places that he goes. They prove that he was truly incarnate. That he just didn't receive a body and was made flesh and dwelt among us and sat on a chair. But no, he walked through life. He went about doing good. His feet propelled him. He entered into the life of this world. He entered into the path of the sinner. He entered into the ways of the sinners for their salvation without sinning himself. His feet. What would we be without his feet going about doing good? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace, but none so beautiful as him who brought it himself, the whole gospel itself in his incarnation. Those beautiful feet. The feet where Mary sat, where she delighted to sit to hear his word. The feet that his mother Mary first handled, the little feet. Because her true human feet, they grew and developed. He had to learn to walk on those feet. Those soft feet. But they became rough and hardened in the pilgrimage. And then at last they became wounded. And I'm sure they were bruised and battered too, as the rest of his body was. So his feet are wounded. And then his hands are outstretched with his arms nailed to the cross, as though he reaches out his arms and hands to all men, to all the world, as truly he does. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God, beside me there's none else. All the day long have I reached out my hands onto a rebellious race. They're stretched out, and yet they're nailed to the tree. The hands are the instruments of kindness and work. He worked with his hands. He was a carpenter, a tecton as it is, worked with timber and with stone. He built houses. He built homes. But he built the house of salvation with those hands, for us to enter into and be saved, and to have fellowship suffer, Sisyphus, the hands that built the ark of salvation for us, but not without being nailed to the tree, not without being wounded. So his hands are wounded too. And we could think so many things the Lord did with those hands, and often do. He takes the little loaves and the fishes. Even this night of the institution of this supper, his hands are very active. He breaks the bread and gives the cup. As he does this day to us, he gives us the broken bread and he gives us the cup. It's from his hands, and they are nailed to the tree for us. And then his side, near to his heart, the pierced his side, the Roman sword, there came out blood and water. This was the only wound opened after death. The skeptics have said, well, how can a dead man bleed? It's because he hangs on the cross and his heart has burst and the blood has already been shed within him. And at opening side, with gravity, it ushers forth the blood and the water. And of course, that in his death, a wound after death, opens for us the gates of salvation that we may go in. The water from his side, he's a rock in the wilderness. In the burning heat of the scorching day of God on Calvary, he's smitten The rock is rent asunder, smitten, and out comes the life-giving stream that flows on and on down through the generations till it reaches all those for whom he's died. The blood that cleanses, the water that purifies, that brings us that perfect salvation that justifies us and also sanctifies us, that washes away our sins and yet also makes us to be completely acceptable in the Father's sight. This twofold aspect of salvation, a complete salvation, but not without the wounded side. His hands, his feet, his side. This is the last Adam. The first Adam had a similar experience, but the opposite. In Genesis, we read of it. Genesis chapter 3. We read there in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now our eye is to be on Adam, because it's in Adam that we die. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He was with her. In his union with her, he fell with her and fell for her. It didn't justify the deed. It was abominable still. Because you shouldn't love anyone more than God. He loved Eve more than God. Now, the devil didn't take the fruit down and put it into Eve's hand. He talked about the fruit, he highlighted the fruit, and Eve with her feet walked to it. Her feet. She walked to the tree. And Adam was with her, it says. What does it say there? Her husband with her. He walked to the tree with her. She took the hand. She gave unto him. He took and ate. So the hands of them both, the feet of them both, sinned. They both went to the tree. They both took and handled. They both ate. And why did Adam eat? Because of his side. Eve came out of his side. And because of her, because of his union to her, because of his love for her, he ate with her. Not being deceived, but he ate with her. And Christ had to answer for all of that. For the one who came out of his side, who he has in his union to him, us, the church. And in all these areas, he has to be wounded for us. For our feet went after sin, and our hands took of sin and participated in sin, and we loved other things, and we have union with other things more than the Lord. And he has to buy us in all these areas and be wounded for us in all these areas. So his heart, his very heart was pierced for us. And that's what we remember at this table. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come to this table, it is a feast. The food is his body and blood. His body broken for us and his blood shed for us. The mouth that partakes of all of this is the mouth of faith. And we do so in thanksgiving unto him.